Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
You are listening to station WGN.
Welcome to the induction ceremony for the 2019 class of the WGN Walk of Fame on 720 WGN Radio. Now let's go live to the Chicago Architecture Center.
Good morning, and welcome to the WGN Radio Walk of Fame. I'm Todd Manley, WGN Radio Station Manager and Vice President of Content. It was the dawn of radio, and the Chicago Tribune under Colonel McCormick wanted to be part of this burgeoning new media. And as legend states, he wrote a letter to his mother stating that you cannot be helped but being thrilled by this magic box that plucks sounds from the air. And we're plucking sounds from every which way anymore. Thank you, Mr. Bluetooth. It's been an incredible adventure, and it continues, and we look forward to our next 95 years. It was in 1924 the paper took the self-titled name of its operation, World's Greatest Newspaper, to be the call letters for its radio station, WGN. The 50,000-watt love pump, as Spike Odell later would call it, was born on June 1, 1924, when supervising engineer Elliot Jenkins spoke the words, "This is WGN, formerly WDAP, and we're still proud to have the best engineering department on the planet. Thank you, Bill Murdoch, and yeah, true. What listeners wanted to hear in the early days of radio is no different than what we need today. A place to come together, listen to our neighbors' dreams, share secrets across the gangway, and be the place where Chicagoans come together on, yes, smart speakers, laptops, and these handheld radios that just happen to make phone calls, too. And the magic box that dazzled Colonel McCormick, of course, 95 years ago. We're proud to have all of you here today, extended family, partners, treasured friends, amazing voices on other wireless machines. And we want to really take a moment to celebrate these people. They're part of a team that is rich with collaboration. So let's get started. Your masters of ceremony today are Bill Leff and Steve Bertrand.
Thank you. Thank you, Todd Manley. Thanks, everybody. We are pleased and excited to recognize the sixth class of the WGN Walk of Fame. And be sure to head to WGNradio.com later on this afternoon, where you'll be able to see pictures of today's ceremonies. Hello to several of our past Walk of Fame winners. I will mention their names. Feel free to applaud for the ones that you like. My co-host, Steve Bertrand, standing right over there. Lyle Dean, everybody. How about a hand for Lyle Dean? Dave Ennett. Dan Fabian, Steve King, and Johnny Putman, Lou Manfredini, Marilyn Miller, Judy Pilak, Dean Richards, Orion Samuelson, Roger Treemstra, Mary Vandeveld, and representing Bob Collins, his wife, Christine Collins.
Now, we're proud that today's Walk of Fame class are all native to the Chicago area, and of the four, two are present-day voices on the airwaves. One hosted a show for 60 consecutive years on this radio station, and another is a behind-the-scenes staff member who marks her 52nd year at WGN Radio. Woo! So let's meet them. Please join us in welcoming our 2019 WGN Radio Walk of Fame inductees, Andrea Darlis. Representing 10-pin tattler Sam Weinstein, his son Larry Weinstein. Marlene Wells. And John Williams.
Congratulations to all of you. Let's get started with our first inductee. That would be Andrea Darlis. Andrea said she always wanted to be a reporter on the radio and on TV, and she has done exactly that. You've heard her on WGN Radio, of course, and you've seen her on WGN Television. In a career spanning more than two decades with WGN, Andrea is an award-winning journalist many, many times over. She has covered everything from corruption trials to championship rallies for all of Chicago's sports teams, presidential candidates, and a whole lot more. She has anchored the news for some of the best in the business. That includes Spike, Bob, Wally, Roy, Kathy and Judy, Max and Orion, Milt Rosenberg, and even Wendy and myself. Andrea was trained by Judy Pilak, who told her, and I quote, she was good, but not as good as her. When she started, Dave Bennett accidentally introduced her on air as Angela Darlis. These days, you'll hear Andrea Darlis hosting her own show, Andrea and the Reporters.
WGN Radio Walk of Fame, Class of 2019. Growing up in the southern suburbs of Chicago, Andrea Darlis got bit by the broadcasting bug early.
Andrea Darlis, WGN News.
From the early days, she always knew she wanted to be a reporter on the radio or TV. In a career spanning more than 21 years at WGN Radio as a news anchor, reporter, and show host, Andrea has covered two Olympic Games, multiple corruption trials, the 2016 presidential election, three Chicago Blackhawks Stanley Cup rallies, World Series rallies for the White Sox, and the Cubs.
Celebrities paraded on stage one after the other, all paying tribute to Oprah Winfrey.
Plus, Oprah's last show, President Obama's victory speech in Grant Park, and the funerals of four Chicago baseball legends. Through the years, her work has received accolades from the Associated Press, Illinois Broadcasters Association, and Chicago Headline Club. And when she was a kid hoping to be a reporter on TV or radio, she did both. Reporting for WGN Television as well.
Andrea Darlis, WGN News.
For over two decades of excellence and professionalism, WGN Radio is proud to welcome Andrea Darlis to the 2019 WGN Walk of Fame.
Congratulations, Andrea.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you,
Bill. All right,
so
take me back to day one. Tom Peterson hired you, right?
Tom Peterson hired me. Tom Peterson and I met at a broadcasters convention, and those of you who know Tom know we'd been sitting at the convention for probably 2 or 3 hours at that point, and Tom looked at his watch and said, when is this going to finally end? And that became the start of a beautiful friendship, and I, of course, took that opportunity. This is probably 1996, 97, and a decade we call the 90s, kids. But I said to Tom, are you looking for any help or freelance?
And, okay, so talk about that, because yeah. I know that situation where you're in sure. the presence of someone who can help.
Yeah.
You want them to help. And you don't want to let them leave.
Right. And you feel funny asking, but you think, if I don't ask, I'm going to blow this chance. And he said, well, we're really not looking for anybody right now. And then I got a phone call from him, maybe 2 weeks later, and it was coming up on Thanksgiving. He said, do you want to work Thanksgiving? He said, I can use some freelance help. So I ended up going in for that day when I trained with Judy Pilak, and she told me that I'm good, but I'll never be as good as she is. Then she bought me a Big Mac, which was kind of funny. And it's the last meal Judy's ever bought for me. But so
I think it's the last meal Judy's ever bought for
anybody. Probably, right, Steve? So I started working Thanksgiving and the day after and Christmas Eve and Christmas Day and every holiday for the next 8 years.
Okay, so if I remember correctly, maybe it wasn't that Thanksgiving, but didn't you and John work together on Thanksgivings?
John and I, that was my training shift with Judy was on a Saturday, and my first baptism by fire was with John Williams. I don't know, was it that Saturday, John?
Well, it would have been a Thursday.
We did a show. No, we did a show, and then our first full show was Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And we were both saying how great it is to be on WGN, and obviously I'm working with John and anchoring news, and John said, don't worry, I'll get us dinner. So the Tribune folks upstairs, back when we were in the tower, they had a, I think we had bagels or something like that, but on the fourth floor of Tribune, they had a whole spread. They had turkey, ham, sweet potatoes. So John had sent his producer, Matt Bubala, upstairs, and Matt comes down with a turkey, and he just said, get a little plate or something for us, but Matt brought all the food down. So we had turkey, ham, sweet potatoes, and everything. Thank you, Colonel Tribune, and everybody upstairs for that. Yeah. But that was our first Thanksgiving together.
Audrey, talk for a moment about what it's like to be on the station that your parents listened to, that you were probably forced to listen to as a child and didn't want to listen to.
Oh, yeah.
And now you're on that station, that magical station. What's that like?
Oh, it's surreal. Yeah. It really is. We all grew up, you know, I grew up in Orland Park. We all grew up listening to the radio. My dad would have Bob Collins on the car and Wally with the voices, you know, and I thought as a kid that was so cool that I'd hear Wally with the voices and, you know, we would play the sound bites. And my dog, when I was about 12 years old, my dog got skunked. And my dad did what everybody back then did. He said, I'm calling Bob Collins because he'll know what to do. They didn't have 24-hour emergency vets back in that day. So we called Bob Collins and he was so excited because, A, he got through. And two, because Bob Collins kept him through the commercial break, which he thought was, you know, huge.
It's like
for
Johnny
for
Carson calling him to the couch.
Yes.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. Exactly. And then so many years later, when I was working, I'd worked in Joliet for 4 years. I was a news director there. And I had been there, and I really was just itching to come back to Chicago. That was always my goal. And my dad was the one who said, why don't you call Tom Peterson or send a letter, you know, to Tom and see and... And it worked out, and I met Tom at the broadcast convention, and it just kind of all fell into place. So it's surreal to grow up listening and to be here, to have arrived.
I know this will put you on the spot to some extent, but I'm anxious to hear your answer. Give us one day at WGN that you'll never forget.
Oh, I don't mean to sound cliche, but it has to be 9/11.
Yeah.
It has to be. I mean, because we all, you know, we all are family. We've known each other. I've known these guys 21 years, you know, so we've grown up together half my life. And we came in that day. Actually, I take that back. I was home. I had worked a night shift that night. I was anchoring news for Milt Rosenberg. Mm-hmm. So I went home, and my mom called, and she said, you might want to turn on the TV. A plane just hit the World Trade Center. And I thought, really, at this point, I thought, oh, it's sensational. Or maybe a small plane clipped it or something. She said, no, a plane is in the World Trade Center. And I turned the television on and couldn't believe what was happening. And I called the station. I called Tom. And he said, get in here now. So I dropped everything. Everybody was leaving the city. I was driving in, and, of course, it was all hands on deck. Steve picked up anchoring midday. Judy was there. Judy had her son, who this was, again, 18 years ago. He's out of college now. He was 3 years old, and I remember he was coloring on Tom's couch. And we stayed there all day, all night, into the early morning hours.
Yeah.
I mean, it was almost 24 hours that we were there. And it was just a team coming together to cover probably the most historical and significant event of my lifetime.
Yeah. Okay, so that's a day you'll never forget.
Yeah.
None of us will, but tell me a day you want to forget. What?
The day... you know what I'm going to say. The day I was covering, it was something had happened, and I was covering Senator Fitzgerald and Senator Durbin. So it was back-to-back press conferences, and it was rushing around, and that's when we had to call back in and file our reports by phone. And you answered, Steve, and you said, and we're rushing for, you know, you had finished your anchor shift, and I said, I'm going to, can you record this for me? So you did, and then you said, you got to do it again. I said, okay, so I did it again. He said, you have to do it again. 5 times later, I said, are you serious? He said, no, we got it the first time. You're all good. Again, baptism by fire by the great Steve
I don't Bertrand. Remember that, but I'm glad you reminded me. You're listening to the 2019 induction of the Walk in Fame members here on WGN Radio, and we will return in just a few minutes.
WGN Radio, the station that reaches Chicago and the entire Midwest, one listener at a time.
Let's return live to the WGN Walk of Fame Class of 2019 induction ceremonies. We head back to the Chicago Architecture Center.
Welcome back. Our next inductee was a Bowling Broadcasting icon. The 10-pin tattler was both the moniker of host Sam Weinstein and the name of the show he created. His love affair with the sport of bowling began when he was 17 years old. He worked at the Bowler's Journal magazine. He went on to host what was once recognized in the Guinness Book of World Records as the longest-running program with one host. This is your 10-pin tattler. I can still remember that distinctly every Saturday evening. Here on WGN, the show aired Saturday nights until 1995, ending a 60-year run that had begun in 1935. Sam was not only a pioneer in the development of TV bowling shows in the 50s, he also co-invented the fingertip grip, which is still the grip of choice for pro bowlers today. He was awarded several times over in the bowling world. We're pleased to induct Sam Weinstein into the WGN Radio Walk of Fame.
The WGN Radio Walk of Fame, Class of 2019. The Chicago native was born Sam Weinstein, but Chicago radio listeners knew him by another moniker, Ten Pin Tattler.
Oh, Universal Bowling and Golf Specialist.
That was the name of his show, and it was once the longest-running radio program with just one host. The show debuted on WCFL on August 24th, 1935, as a 15-minute program that included news from the bowling world and a live interview with a prominent bowler.
With your universal-fitted bowling ball, good bowling, too.
In 1966, the show moved to WGN Radio to air Saturday nights as a 5-minute program, where it stayed for almost 30 years. Until August 1995. Sam had become hooked on bowling as a 17-year-old and once said, quote, "I thought bowling deserved more publicity than it was getting. So I thought, why not put bowling on the air and make a buck for myself?" Sam Weinstein was a pioneer in developing TV bowling shows in the 1950s and co-invented the fingertip grip, the grip of choice of professional bowlers to this day. He was the recipient of several awards, including one that was later named for him.
The 10-pin tattler saying goodnight to you.
The 10-pin Tattler. Sam Weinstein died on June 4th, 2003. WGN Radio is proud to welcome Sam as a member of the 2019 class of the WGN Walk of Fame.
Here representing 10 Pin Tattler, Sam Weinstein, please welcome his son, Larry Weinstein, everybody. As we heard, an amazing story. Your dad's story is an amazing story. How did he go about turning this passion into an empire?
I don't know about empire, but he was just dedicated, a hard worker, a talented writer, a talented promoter in a good sense. And one thing led to another. He took advantage of some opportunities that were offered to him, and our family has had a nice life, you know, all because of my father's involvement with bowling. And a big part of that, he was so proud of his affiliation and association with WGN Radio. It was so special. I'm not just saying that. It was the truth.
Larry, what were Saturdays like? As I recall, because as I said, I was there toward the last few years. And Sam would come in, I think, and record it on Saturday afternoon. Is my recollection correct?
I think you're correct, Steve. I was telling my wife on the drive down here, I think the engineers told my dad that it sounded better if he went to the studio.
Yeah.
So for most of his tenure, he did that. But I can also remember him closing his office door to shut out all the sound and then recording it by phone.
I was just thinking, though, as a kid growing up, your Saturdays were spoken for almost every Saturday.
Yeah, I think my dad was on for 60 years, and the story was always that he missed three shows in 60 years. It's amazing.
Yeah. He himself was not much of a bowler, was he?
No, he was not. He was not a good bowler. He was very well known. When we had father and son, if we entered a father and son championship, he said to me, "The people are going to think I'm lying or I'm out to win the car or some prize if I told everyone my average is really 140, 145. So he would list his average in terms of that tournament as 190. He could never reach 190. For three games yet, so we never advanced at all. But I understood what my dad was saying, and I accepted it.
Yeah.
What was it like growing up as a kid with your dad on TV? I mean, imagine that must have been something, too.
Yeah, it was very special. My dad had what he always called the highest rated show on, I think, Sunday afternoons. It was Bowl the Professor with a local pro, Paul Krumsky, or it was Bowling Queens, somebody, a hot shot youngster bowling against women, star bowlers. And then my dad would always say, somebody at the TV station saw the figures or the bottom line, and it was much cheaper to produce a movie than it was to hire a live crew. So that was the end of the highly rated bowling show. This was the days before pro football was an institution.
Right. Larry, congratulations to you, your family, and of course to your dad, Sam, for the 10-pin Tattler. We're very thrilled.
It's a great honor. Thank you.
What radio station do you listen to?
WGN 720 on my dial.
Let's return live to the WGN Walk of Fame Class of 2019 induction ceremonies. We head back to the Chicago Architecture Center.
You may have heard of our next inductee. Her name is Marlene Wells. Marlene has worked at WGN for more than half a century. Did you hear that right? Yes, you did. Marlene has worked at WGN for more than half a century. This October marks her 52nd year with the station. When the station moved, Marlene moved along with it from Bradley Place to the Tribune Tower's ground floor, then up to the Tribune Tower's seventh floor, and then over to the River 303 Wacker. If you need to know something about the station or something that had been done before, you need to ask Marlene Wells. You've heard her name mentioned on the air many, many times. You have met her at events or broadcasts. Marlene will be there for everyone before, during, and after, making sure that everything runs smoothly, and that includes today. Over the years, meeting politicians, sports legends, and celebrities has been a fun perk of the job, but what really keeps Marlene at WGN managing all the planes, trains, and automobiles over the years, she says it's family. WGN is a family.
WGN Radio Walk of Fame. Every radio station is so much more than just the talents that you hear on the air. There are producers, there's production, support staff, promotions, marketing, each function requiring its own level of talent and skill to keep things running. And for over 50 years, one of our most talented has been Marlene Wells. As part of the station's marketing and sales teams, Marlene joined WGN Radio in 1967. She's what we call a behind-the-scenes legend in her own right. She's the get-it-done organizer of such A-list events as Hometown Voices, the Cubs and Blackhawks conventions, Sox Fest, the Kathy and Judy conventions, our Pride Parade appearances, Taste of Chicago, and countless other remote broadcasts and events. If you visited one of our live events, chances are Marlene was there long before, during, and after, making sure it all goes as planned. Marlene often likes to say, it's more than just a radio station, it's family. She celebrates her 52nd anniversary with her WGN family this October. For her skills, her smiles, and her save-the-day tenacity, we're very proud to welcome Marlene Wells to the 2019 class of the WGN Radio Walk of Fame.
A standing ovation.
Standing ovation. Wow.
Marlene Wells, congratulations and welcome to the WGN Radio Walk of Fame.
Thank you.
Okay, so just how hard is it for you to sit there right now?
This is pure torture.
How many times today have I said, sit there and be inducted?
A few.
Because even during the news break, you're out running. What were you doing during the news? What were you trying to organize?
Some of my old bosses are back there, and I wanted to say hello.
Yeah? So yeah. Tell me about this day and what it means to you.
Well, I'm still in disbelief, that's for sure. When we were starting to plan Walk of Fame, I asked who the inductees were going to be, and no one would tell me. And I thought, well, gee.
How did that sit with you, not knowing?
That's weird. You know, I work on this event, no one's saying anything. And I thought, well, Todd's doing something different this year, you know, in conjunction with our 95th birthday. So he said, let's have a brief chat before our regular meeting. And I grabbed all my folders and waiting to go in his office with my immediate boss, Tabitha, my co-worker, Sarah, and then I see Steve Cochran, and I thought, okay, well, maybe Steve is going to do emceeing this year. And we go in there, and Todd's starting to ask a few questions, giving him answers on what has been done so far. And then Steve said, well, I happen to know who one of them is. And I, all of a sudden, I'm thinking, God, I'm going to find out. You know, I'm starting to, and he said, Marlene Wells, and I, yeah, funny. You know, and then Todd said it again, and I just, my answer was no freaking way. You know, and it's like, and so it's like, I really, you know, was stunned. I really was.
Marlene, 52 years is a very long time. Does it seem like a long time to you or not?
No. No, I still remember the first day I walked in, we shared our office space with WGN TV sales. I'm sorry, not TV sales. It was, yeah, TV sales and radio sales. We were together. And when I had interviewed, my immediate boss was going to be Frank Bonzinski. I didn't know he was going to be my boss at that point. But after I was hired, my mother told my aunt, you know, that I was hired. And she says, well, my boss, my neighbor works there. Marlene said, well, he's got a long Polish name. Well, so does my neighbor. Well, the next day, he stands in front of my desk, you know, with his hands on his hip. He's bald. He looked like Mr. Clean. And he just said, had I known that you were Tom and Rose's niece, I wouldn't have hired you. That was his, he had a very dry sense of humor. But
you should say, Frank, too, was like the staff artist.
He was. He was a graphic artist, right. And he was, he became like my mentor. He was a father image. He was a best friend. Loved him dearly. And we lost Mr. B a couple of years ago to cancer. But yeah, that was my first immediate boss. So.
Hey, Marlene, back then, was the 52-year contract standard in the radio business?
No. It was.
It was, but you couldn't renegotiate it.
No. I think there was only one other person that I knew at the time. Was Charlie Allen, who was head of the record library. Charlie was there for 50 years. And then, of course, too, my good friend, former co-worker, Carol Hankner, who's out there. Carol. Carol celebrated her 50th. And so those are about the only people that I really knew that hit gold.
50 years. Yeah. And Orion, of course, as well.
And Orion, of course, too. Yeah.
So you are incredibly organized. You are, I'll say this in the nicest way, tenacious when you need to be, right? Who's the most disorganized talent you've ever worked with?
No, it's not you, Steve. No, all our talent's pretty good.
Oh. And she's scrupulously honest, too.
Oh, yeah. Marlene, you met your husband at WGN years and years ago. And I have to say, I know a lot of couples who have been together a long time. You guys are crazy madly in love, and it's so good to see that.
Yeah.
Stand up, Rick.
Yeah, Rick was an engineer at WGN, and we had our first date on Valentine's Day. He proposed 3 weeks later. We got engaged, not until May, but we got engaged at the at lunchtime in the Picnic Grove of Bradley Place. We did not get married at GN, no. So probably out of my 52 years, that was the best.
Can I just interject this, Steve?
we have not done a remote that Rick wasn't there to.
Right, exactly.
I mean, this lady's tenacious. She gets it done. He is at every single event. And I don't think we pay him. But
no.
he's hauling stuff and he's doing stuff.
He drives Miss Daisy.
Yes, he does. Yes.
Listen, John, I want to thank you, too, for waiting till it was almost your turn.
You want me to guess the temperature outside, Steve? Because I'm really good at that.
You're listening to the 2019 WGN Radio Walk of Fame induction here on 720 WGN.
WGN Radio, the station that reaches Chicago and the entire Midwest, one listener at a time.
Let's return live to the WGN Walk of Fame Class of 2019 induction ceremonies. We head back to the Chicago Architecture Center.
And welcome back. Our next inductee, and this is a thrill for me because he is easily one of my favorite people on the face of the earth, John Williams. John walked the halls of WGN first in 1980 as an intern, working alongside Wally Phillips and Bob Collins. In 1997, he was the host of his own WGN radio show, and he continues to think big thoughts and talk them out with the WGN listeners. Any host can talk a lot, but John fancies himself as a listener, and he certainly is, and he wants to be remembered as someone who listened not just to his audience but also to his guests during the interviews. You can currently hear him weekday afternoons and Saturday mornings, plus on the Mincing Rascals podcast, or see him on stage talking with dead presidents.
The 2019 class of the WGN Radio Walk of Fame. John Williams is the textbook example of starting on the bottom rung and working his way up. John first walked the hallways of WGN Radio as an intern for Wally Phillips and Bob Collins. In September 97, King John became the midday host before moving to afternoons in 2000. Our friend is quoted as saying, "You could write of any talk radio host, he talked. But what I really try to do is listen. I'll get my time to talk. The hard part is to listen." John Williams has received several broadcasting awards over the years and is currently heard weekdays 1 to 3 and Saturdays at 10 a.m. Plus, he's on the cusp of new technology with the very popular podcast, The Mincing Rascals. King John gave himself that nickname in a hope that someday he might actually be king. He says he's just still waiting for the paperwork to come through. For years of great talent, thoughtful entertainment, and sharing his bright side, we're proud to welcome John Williams to the 2019 class of the WGN Radio Walk of Fame.
Ladies and gentlemen, the man who would be king, John Williams. John, congratulations.
Thank you, Bill.
How does this feel?
Like Marlene said, surreal, or was it Andrea that said that? I mean, some of my best friends and family in the world are here. Brenda just started to cry, so I'm going to cry now, too. This is really nice. The guy sitting next to Brenda is John Lang. When I was an intern here, he and I were college classmates, and he was an intern at BBM. And he said, let's share a room in Chicago for that summer. He went on to become an Emmy Award-winning videographer. 2 days ago, he was in the Bahamas. He works for a TV station in Miami, and he flew up here for that. So I'm just so touched to see some family and friends here. David McCallie, my first great general manager who gave me great advice and gave me a chance, is here. So my funeral won't be this good. This is awesome.
Well, go back to 1980. So you were a college student then?
Yeah.
And walking around WGN Radio, you went to high school in Minooka, so you knew the station well.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you start to see the faces of the names you knew.
Right. That's very weird to just sit next to Marilyn or some of the producers and watch Wally or watch Bob. Just to see them, to see Roy interview somebody was, you know, that would have been enough for an intern. That was great.
So what do you learn and absorb from those giants? What did you pick up, John?
That's a good question. I think the same things that made the next, you know, generation really good, like Steve and Johnny and Kathy and Judy, be yourself. You know, you can't fake it. So whatever it is you got, bring it. If it's good enough, you win. If not, thank you for your service. Yeah. But you can't be anything that you aren't. And when I left, I was at a radio station in Peoria, And I went to WCCO Minneapolis before I finally got my chance to come to Chicago. And I remember when I got up there, some of the shtick that I did in Peoria, I was afraid to do because I thought, no, I'm in a big city at a big station and it just won't go.
Wasn't there, there was a chicken man?
Yeah, I did a bit like that. I did a bunch of silly little things and I thought, but that can't happen at a WGN. So I shut it down. And, you know, later realized, of course, that was a mistake. That was who I was. That was my bit.
You know? How did the bright side of life start?
I can tell that long story very short. One day, at bumping out of a stop set, we played some music, and Matt Bubala grabbed Monty Python's Always Look on the Bright Side of Life. And, you know, it's just a cheerful little song, and everybody just started to say nice things, you know. And Dave Stewart, who many of you remember, the great newsman, a friend and colleague of ours, was kind of a curmudgeon, wouldn't you say?
And he's not here, right? Yeah,
I know. And Dave goes, hey, I'm having a good day. And I said, so but I am too. And then people started to call in, and it just happened spontaneously. But the next Friday, Stuart goes, are we going to do the happy thing? And I go, what's that? I don't know what your happy thing is, but I don't know what you're talking about. And he said, well, you play that song. And I said, okay, we will. And we haven't stopped playing it since.
And then there was the day you told Eric Idle about it.
Yeah.
Right, the guy who sings the song.
I remember us interviewing him, and I remember us telling him, but I also remember being worried about copyright infringement.
but he liked it, didn't he?
I think he did, yeah. I don't want to talk about it on the radio, because I'm still not sure we're doing it legally, but but it's a great bit. Yeah. And we edited it out, and it's funny, because if you know the song all the way through, there's some language you don't say on the radio there, and some schools and churches do it at events now. They've heard it enough on the radio that grade school teachers say, we play the bright side. I said, edit it. There's a be careful.
John, I'm going to ask you the same question I asked Andrea. What is a day at WGN Radio that Andrea will never forget?
Yeah, is Bill the best?
And be careful because Marlene just told me who the most disorganized talent was during the break.
Well, we all remember, right, 9/11 and Bob Collins passing and some seminal moments in the city. But as soon as you asked AD that, I thought, for me, it was the day that that cat got caught in the plumbing of that lady's house. Do you remember that story?
Kind of, yeah.
So this isn't a... It's just kind of a classic what WGN can do and be. A woman called in to Spike Odell in the afternoon and said that a cat was caught in the plumbing or something like that in her drain pipe, and she couldn't get it out. People were calling in, and Lou Manfredini, I think, was eventually summoned on the phone. I'm not kidding. And then I found myself in my car, and I drove up to the northern suburbs and got into this lady's house. And it was this, like, live community event. Can we save the cat?
Yeah.
The fire department was there. It was this, you know, whole Mayberry RFD kind of scene. And it all happened on the air.
That reminds me, though, of the blizzard.
Wait, did the cat get saved?
The cat died, but...
Is that true?
No, the cat lived.
No, but there was a blizzard in central Illinois, and people were calling you stuck on the interstate.
Yeah.
And you arranged to have pizza delivered to cars.
Right.
On the interstate.
People remember that? They were frozen. The roads were so frozen and snowpacked that people were literally overnighting on the highway in their cars. So we sent our intern out with pizzas, which was a good idea, except we were kind of putting the intern in harm's way, too. But they were interns. We'll make more. You know, those of us who were interns once really feel like it's okay to do something like that. But she was fine, and she became the pizza angel, I think was her nickname. Yeah. It was a good bit.
John, you've done radio in other cities, so this is tough to answer, but try your best. What is it about radio in this city, in Chicago, and specifically WGN, that stands out among other stations?
It's cliche, right, Marlene? It's the community. It's the family. Listen, I was at a great station in Minneapolis. They do what we do there, but they're not as they're more reserved. I think our audience is happy to tell us what we're doing right and what we're doing wrong. Am I right, Steve Cochran? Ro, am I right about that? They really feel like we're hosting their shows. We're on their station. It's if you think about it, you won't talk because it's such a responsibility, such an opportunity, but it'll terrify you if you think about it.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is this year's WGN Walk of Fame class. Tenpin Tatler, Andrea Darlis, Marlene Wells, John Williams.